ABC decided to cancel the hit reboot of the TV show Roseanne this week. The decision came soon after its star, Roseanne Barr, sent out a racist tweet about a former Obama aide. The tweet compared former aide Valerie Jarrett to an ape and was quickly condemned by the network and Barr's colleagues. Want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Were you watching the new version of Roseanne? Do you think it was the right call to cancel it this week, or do you wish ABC had taken a different approach? Are you a person of color yourself? What did you think? Were you offended by the online statement from Barr? Call in and tell us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Thompson joins us now, director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture. He's been called a pop culture ambassador by the Associated Press. Robert, thanks for being back with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, take us back to Tuesday. This happened really pretty quickly. The tweet kind of was sweeping the internet, and then very soon we heard from ABC. What do you think of ABC's quick decision on this?
I think probably they knew that something like this might be coming, and they had an exit strategy ready. They knew when they got into business with Roseanne that she had a long history of all kinds of problems and issues. And I think they had to know that at some point that might be something they would have to respond to quickly. And I also think when those executives read that tweet on Tuesday, they knew that there was only one possible way this story would end, and that would be the cancellation of the show. So they did it pretty quickly.
And in this tweet, she compared Valerie Jarrett, who's African-American, to the love child of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet of the Apes. And that comparison of a person of color as ape-like, I think, meets most, if not all, definitions of racism. This was a non-starter for ABC, a business that was in business with Roseanne Barr.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, there are certain comments where you can, you know, say, okay, maybe they meant this, maybe they meant that. This was a racist comment with hundreds of years of racist history behind it. And it wasn't just, I mean, I think ABC did the right thing, but it wasn't just doing the right thing. I think it was probably the most smart thing for them to do as well, because what would have happened if they hadn't done that is that the call for them to cancel Roseanne, which had already been happening, would have continued. The people who would have bailed from the show, which had already started as well, would have continued. And then the advertisers would have started to bail out. And in the end, what was such an incredibly valuable property to ABC on Monday, even before they canceled it, was a considerably less valuable property to them, and I think its stock would have continued to plummet. So I, from both a business standpoint, from an ethical standpoint, from any standpoint, it was their only decision.
Now, this show, when it came back, I mean, it was big news. It was an older sitcom being rebooted, and it did gangbusters on the debut and kept, you know, numbers went down, as you said, but was still very respectable numbers for a new, quote-unquote, sitcom. This is not an easy hole to fill, necessarily, for a network.
No, I think they were hoping that it would be the tentpole of their fall schedule. A single big hit can do wonders for a network. Look what The Cosby Show did back in the mid-1980s. It brought all these other shows up 30, 40 rating points in their Nielsen ratings. So, or their Nielsen, where they were relative to other shows. So they had a lot of hopes for this, but those hopes were completely dashed by this tweet.
Talking to Robert Thompson from the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture, looking at the cancellation of the Roseanne show after tweets from Roseanne Barr. Want to give a listen to Valerie Jarrett, the target of the main tweet that got the show canceled. She was on NBC Tuesday talking about it. Here's a bit of what she had to say.
I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense. The person who's walking down the street minding their own business and they see somebody cling to their purse or want to cross the street. Or every black parent I know who has a boy who has to sit down and have a conversation.
Let's talk about conversing about this, Robert. There are, in modern America and America throughout the years, lots of things that could instigate us having a conversation about racism. What do you make of this particular moment?
Well, it did. I mean, that first day after this happened, it was the head of the nightly news. It was the first 15 minutes of most cable channels. And since the story was already over, Roseanne tweeted, ABC canceled it. That was the end of the story. So what it became was this conversation about race, and in some ways, I think, also about class in a much more behind-the-scenes kind of way. And the sad thing was that old Roseanne show, the one that played in the late 80s and early 90s, that was probably the best show that really did deal with the lives of struggling working-class people. I mean, we'd had shows like that before, The Honeymooners, The Flintstones, Laverne and Shirley, All in the Family, Good Times, Sanford and Son. But I don't know if any of them really captured it as well as Roseanne did. Episodes about getting the electricity turned off, being so tired at the end of the day, just getting the kids picked up, both people working, feeding them and everything. That was a really consciousness-raising show. And I think ABC had noble aspirations that 2018 would be a great time to bring that show back again. So the problem, I don't think, was ever Roseanne the show. I think the problem was Roseanne, the person who tweets stuff.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Chet on the line in Milwaukee. Chet, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I mean, has anyone seen Roseanne's tweets? I mean, she's a left-wing loony wacko. I mean, the only reason they fired her is that she appeared to support Trump. I mean, why isn't Bill Maher fired? He said Donald Trump is spawned of a chimpanzee.
Chet, thanks for the call. And Robert, there's a lot of if Roseanne is fired for this, who else should be for comments they've made?
Well, you know, and as we speak, one of those stories is emerging. Samantha Bee used a very, very, very prohibited word for a woman in a Wednesday night in her program on Wednesday night, and from the White House itself, they're calling for the cancellation, actually complaining about Samantha Bee with much more vigor than they complained about the Roseanne tweet. So there is certainly that argument is certainly out there. By the way, Bill Maher did. He made some comments right after September 11th back in 2001, and he did lose his show for that.
Thanks for the call, Chet. We'll go next to Jim in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi. Well, I 1,000 support ABC's ethical code of standards. I only wish they applied it that Donald Trump was their employee, because his comments about there being good people on both sides, meaning there are good white racists and supremacists at Charlottesville, and his calling Senator Warren of Massachusetts Pocahontas is the equivalent of Roseanne's conduct. I only wish he was subject to the ABC standards.
Jim, thanks for the call. And Robert, President Trump also talking about ABC not apologizing to him, to President Trump, for what he says is their poor treatment of him in the past. But a politician is one thing. A pop culture, a TV show is something else. I don't know.
Well, what the caller said was absolutely right. ABC cannot fire the President of the United States because the President of the United States is not an employee of ABC. The President of the United States is an employee of us. And that, of course, gets us into the issue of this election and the midterm elections and the next elections and all of that. But that's who can fire a president.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Robert, are we in a different era? Is it different for people in pop culture when they wander into politics, a very controversial politics in this case, or have we always had some of that?
Well, it's very different then. I mean, back in the, until we got to the 1970s, primetime entertainment television, for the most part, completely stayed away by the standards and practices of the networks from politics at all, with a couple of exceptions, Laugh-In and the Smothers Brothers and that. That has now completely changed. And, of course, we've got the internet and social media and ways to accelerate the dissemination and response to these stories in ways we could have never imagined a generation ago.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Robert Thompson, pop culture expert and director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now about the cancellation of the ABC series Roseanne, and we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Is this an argument you're having on your social media? Are you defending Roseanne Barr? Are you happy with the cancellation of the show? What do you think, if anything, we can learn from all of this? And was ABC right to cancel the show? Call in and tell us what you think at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. David French joins us now, senior writer for the National Review and senior fellow at the National Review Institute. He wrote a recent piece for the magazine titled Roseanne and the High Cost of Embracing Craziness. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, talk about what you mean by the high cost of embracing craziness. You say there were lots of red flags long before this week's series of tweets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ABC knew what it was getting when it hired Roseanne. I mean, this wasn't her first racist tweet. This was a person who was a 9/11 truther, had trafficked in conspiracy theories about the Boston bombing, had been all over the map in her personal insults to various individuals, was just had given off all of the possible red flags. I mean, let's not forget, this was also a person who, you know, there's all this talk about kneeling football players, had desecrated the national anthem with her own performance of it in the 1990s more thoroughly than I've ever seen anybody do it ever in a public platform. So they knew what they were getting here, and apparently what they did is they saw the possibility of ratings gold and kind of crossed their fingers and hoped for the best. And you know what? They hired Roseanne, and they got Roseanne.
And a lot of people made a big deal out of the fact that she had been supporting President Trump in her show. Her character was a Trump voter, this was something that people saw as a little new and different for primetime TV. How big a part of the story is that?
It's a big part of the story, in part because the president made it a big part of the story. He called Roseanne to congratulate her when her ratings were high. He used Roseanne as an example in his rallies. And it's part of one of the symptoms of the unhealthy way in which we view celebrity in this country. I mean, both sides of the political spectrum have their own issues with celebrity, but Republicans in particular have this disturbing habit because there's not that many Republican or conservative celebrities, that when somebody sort of winks at them or it opens their arms to them, they're going to rush into endorse and support. And Roseanne is exactly the wrong kind of person for, you know, the rank and file Trump supporter to support. I mean, you don't want to be in a position where your public champion is a 9/11 truther, somebody who said that people who go to Chick-fil-A should get cancer, and tweets racist comments.
Now, but the President Trump tweeted yesterday suggesting there was a double standard at ABC because they haven't apologized to him for what he called horrible statements made about him on the network. And here's White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders expanding on that yesterday.
The president simply calling out the media bias. No one's defending what she said. The president is the president of all Americans, and he's focused on doing what is best for our country. And you can see that in the actions that he's taken.
What do you think of the actions that the president has taken, the response on Twitter and then from the press secretary?
Well, number one, making this about him is not what he should be doing right now. Making this the idea or any kind of action or indication that says that the Roseanne story, it should turn to him or have him included in the conversation is not in his best interests. But on the other hand, there is a double standard that exists in the media. We saw comments from Samantha Bee that were extraordinarily vile. There is a sort of this continuing slow motion train wreck involving Joy Reid at MSNBC right now, that where she's continuing to kind of laughably blame on a hacker an awful lot of bad and distasteful posts. And so a lot of people are saying, well, you know, this is there's no rules here. If there's the only standard here is a double standard. And, you know, a person could be forgiven for thinking that. I think it's time that we begin to think hard about the notion that we want to be tolerant of free speech while maintaining some standards of basic respect and decency and professionalism and decency. And we can do that. But right now it all feels like a political power play all the time.
Let's go to our callers now. Laura is with us in Clinton. Laura, hi.
Hi. I just want to say that what Sam B said is nasty, deplorable, despicable, and it's an insult, but it's not tied to years of racism. What Roseanne said is a completely different category because it's completely race-based. I don't think they're equivalent at all.
Laura, thanks for the call. David, how do we sort out which comment is a fireable, cancelable offense for a show?
Yeah, that's a great question. I look, we have a situation where in this country we got a lot of people wanting to fire people even when they just disagree with what they say or disagree with a gesture they make, like, say, kneeling or whatever at a football game, or disagree with a memo like the James Damore memo at Google. I put it differently. I would say, look, I would like to see employees be given broad range to express dissenting points of view, even disagreeing with their own corporations on occasion, so long as they engage with a measure of professionalism and decency. And when you do not engage with professionalism or decency, at that point, you know, this idea of whether we're going to say that a misogynistic slur is not quite as bad as a racist comment, you know, that's kind of the, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin kind of debate. The more substantive debate to me is, was what was said with respect and decency, professionalism and decency? If it wasn't, then, you know, at that point, I feel like a corporation should feel free to take the action it deems necessary.
Thanks for that call, Laura. We're talking to David French from the National Review about the cancellation of the Roseanne show after Roseanne Barr's controversial tweets earlier this week. Back to your calls now. Frank is on the line in Milwaukee. Frank, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, Frank?
I was thinking about rehabilitation. So I don't necessarily disagree that canceling Roseanne's show was wrong. I would support ABC's decision. My thoughts here are, you know, we were talking about popular culture and how quickly people can be essentially, you know, demonized. And I was wondering if, you know, if Roseanne were to do some type of re-education or rehabilitation where she dives into, you know, how her thought process is, how she may have become racist, and, you know, how that deeper thinking has changed her.
Gotcha, Frank. So I guess what's the path to redemption, if any, David?
Well, I mean, you know, there's many, many second acts in American life. I mean, that much is clear. But I would say this. I think the problem that ABC and the mistake that ABC made is this: they were not dealing with some sort of mildly controversial person who said one or two tough things over the course of her career. They intentionally went out, courted, and rehired a person who has been very toxic for a very long time. And so, you know, if you're going to have some sort of, you know, formalistic apology, or you're going to have some sort of, you know, listening tour or whatever, where somebody goes and hears experiences that they may not have been exposed to, you're going to have to do a lot of work to overcome the notion that, look, this is just who Roseanne is and who she's been for a really, really long time. And that's why I blame ABC a lot here for the initial hire. This was not something where you took a mildly controversial celebrity or somebody who on one hand had said an awful lot of good things and then on the other hand was occasionally prone to some outbursts. This was a person who had been toxic for a really long time, and they hired her, and it's just like they crossed their fingers and hope for the best. To no one's surprise, they did not get the best.
David, in our last couple of minutes, I want to talk about a wider issue that you started to touch on of civility. You are you're a conservative. You have not, I think it's fair to say, embraced President Trump, and you've written about kind of a coarsening, a heightening of the extremes on both sides of American politics. Do you see a path toward, you know, agreeable disagreeing?
Not in the short term. Not in the short term. All the momentum right now, and you can see it on Twitter, like literally as we are speaking now, the furious battles over what about Joy Reid or what about Samantha Bee are raging. So I think in the short term, all of the momentum is towards less civility and more anger. But it also makes people miserable. I think I'm going to be wildly optimistic and say that very misery may create an appetite and may create a market for civility. But we cannot under any circumstances define civility as agreement. We have to be able to find a space to be tolerant to points of view that we disagree with, even disagree with strongly. And that's why I said earlier, look, it's one thing for a corporation to say we want our employees to behave with professionalism and decency. It's another thing for a corporation to say all of our employees have to agree with and toe with a political line. If you have that point of view, then you are ending the culture of free speech in this country. If, however, you say we want professionalism and decency, but we also want to respect your individual autonomy to disagree, then you're allowing a culture of free speech to flourish.
Briefly, David, are we at a structural disadvantage here where on social media, maybe that more extreme message travels further and there's no way for individuals unhappy about this to fight it?
Yeah, we are at a structural disadvantage, and it's actually a phenomenon that you see, and it's called nut picking. And that is where you find sort of the nuttiest expression of the other side's point of view, and you share it far and wide, and you say, look, that's what the left believes, or look, that's what the right believes. And it just inflames people all the more. But the problem is, you know, as I said, people are getting increasingly miserable living like this. So there are some opportunities for alternatives to misery. And I don't know what that looks like yet. That's why I'm pessimistic in the short term. But over the long term, I do wonder if the increasing stress of political life, if the increasing stress of political discourse will generate its own backlash. And that may happen. I want it to happen. I don't see it happening right away.
Alternatives to Misery sounds like a great book title. Dave, just saying. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's David French, senior writer for the National Review and senior fellow at the National Review Institute. He's with us to talk about his recent piece, Roseanne and the High Cost of Embracing Craziness.